Hey everybody, this is Lori Burrs with the Catch a Pug Podcast, and tonight, episode 25, comedian Megan Welch. Megan came, I actually saw her perform, and she had me laughing until I cried, and so I just begged her to come on the show, because I never had a comedian, and she's so damn funny. If you get a chance, look her up on Facebook. She's on Twitter, Facebook. Before COVID happened, we taped this, so we had no idea what was getting ready to happen. So, that's why we didn't mention it. And, anyway, I hope you guys enjoy the show. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us, whatever you can do to show a little love. That would be really amazing. The Catch a Pocket Podcast, artists and just inspirational people of Wichita talking about themselves, letting you learn a little bit about them and how great Wichita is. Shh, it's a secret. Don't tell anyone. So thanks for listening, and here is Megan Welch. So I'm here with Megan Welch.
Hey, hey, yeah.
All right. And she's a comedian here mm-hmm. in Wichita, Kansas right now.
Yep. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about were you born in Wichita?
No, I'm from North Carolina originally.
Oh, yeah? What part?
I was born in High Point, Asheville, mm-hmm. Greenville.
All the villas.
Winterville, live there. Yeah. And then up near Raleigh.
For how long?
Until I went to high school in Goddard. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So until you were out of middle school or whatever.
Yeah, about middle school, about that. Yeah, just at the end of that, came and went to Goddard High School and then went away to college and then came back, and I've been living here.
Where you go to college?
Missouri Southern for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole story.
So you were telling me that you were in theater?
Yes.
In Goddard. Is that... Like, when you were in North Carolina, did you realize that you were just funny and you needed to pursue that? Or
I mean,
was it here when you went into theater where you realized, I need to do this all the time?
Or? Yeah, I don't, I think, like, I didn't have a lot of exposure to stand-up until mm-hmm. I was in high school. I don't think I would have gotten most of it anyway if I was a kid watching it.
Right.
Jokes are, you know, and they're not geared towards kids, but, like... I was always kind of, I have ADHD and I was a goof off in school, even at a young age. I was
right.
kind of I wasn't a bad kid, but I was a problem because
right.
I was.
You were thinking about.
Wanting to be the center of attention, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Just loud and trying to make people laugh in class. And then I think it was when I got to high school and there's like an avenue for acting, drama,
yeah.
some kind of performance, even if it's band, there's like more for you to do to see. And then I started watching some stand-up.
Uh-huh.
Lewis Black and Dane Cook was really popular at the time.
Is that one of your favorites? Or is
Lewis
it
Black
just...
I like a lot. I wouldn't say he's one of my favorites. I like politics fine enough.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's really good at what he does. But
right.
I wouldn't consider him like... My top five
right,
or whatever.
Right, right,
but
who are your favorite comedians?
Tig Notaro. I don't
mm-hmm.
know if you're...
I do.
I love Tig. Maria Bamford. Some of the comedy I like is, like, really absurd. Like, mm-hmm. Maria Bamford is, like, one of my favorites.
I've never heard that one.
She's very... I don't... Like, if you have anything mentally you're going through, she transcribes it really well. But I think if you don't have anything mentally you're going through, you're like, this chick is...
Different?
Yeah,
like
out there. I don't...
Out.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, her last special was, like, one of my favorite things ever. And I think it's because it's nothing like I could ever do or would do.
Right.
And it's so creative and it's so weird, but it was, like, the weirdest. Like, I remember watching it with other comics and just being like... God, this is just, she's talking so fast in it. And really? She's just, yeah, but you're just sitting there. I watched it four times just to get, because some of the jokes I would miss, she was going really? So fast.
That's and cool.
It was, yeah. So it starts out where she's in a mirror and she's talking to herself. This is, and you're like, oh, okay. This is like a pre, monologue yeah, time. This is like, you know how sometimes specials would open up with like
some kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah like a yeah. sketch or something. Sure. And you're like, this is, and then, but you're like, nope, that's the start of the special is her talking the first 2 minutes or her talking to herself.
Really?
And then it cuts and then she's talking to her husband. He's sitting down on a couch and she's in the living room and she's doing the special for him in the living room. And then right. she's at a house party with a couple friends.
Right.
And then like there's even a cut to her trying to sell merch as they're leaving the house party. She's in the driveway with the trunk open. And then it just keeps getting slightly bigger. And then she's at a bowling alley.
Uh-huh.
Then she's at a bar. And by the end of it, she's in a big theater.
And that's where it is.
Yeah. But it just keeps growing and growing. Awesome. And you're like, at one point, she's in a library
and
whispering.
It's kind of genius in a way,
isn't it? It is.
That is really cool.
And it's like, it was on Netflix. She's kind of a comedian's
What's
comedian.
What's her name again?
Maria Bamford.
Okay.
She I'm had a show called Lady Dynamite, which, okay, because okay, when I was growing up, and she was one of the first comics I loved, I saw her Comedy Central Presents.
Okay.
And she does impressions of her mom on there. I think she still does stuff like that. She's originally from Minnesota.
Okay.
And so it's, I saw that, then she kind of got big. She was like she did a tour of Patton Oswalt, and then she just disappeared.
Right.
And apparently she ended up in a mental hospital.
Oh, okay.
And she had this mental breakdown in L.A. And then she did a show about it.
Right.
Where she was and coming back. It's called Lady Dynamite. It was great.
Yep.
And then she does this special. So okay. I highly recommend it.
I'll just look it up and look it on YouTube and stuff like that. It sounds really, really good.
But yeah, like that's the stuff. I started liking that. And at one point I wanted to be a more of an actress than I wanted to be a comic.
Did you do any shows?
Yeah, sophomore through senior year, I was highly active in acting.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on to be a theater major at Missouri Southern. I was a basketball scholarship.
Oh, wow.
I was a theater major. And then those two things just butted heads.
Right. They just couldn't work together.
They're both extracurricular. They're both. And I kind of was going through some stuff in college. So I dropped out, came home, switched to like a writing major. And I was like, no, I'm just going to be like an English teacher.
Right. So. Which explains why you would like the Maria lady, because she's putting art into, it's making it even more artistic by making this story on top of this comedy at the same time. Like, watch me progress.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And that's really in your head kind of stuff, which a writer would totally get into.
And that's the stuff I like about stand-up. I like the performing part of it, too, but the writing part of it's the tricky stuff for me.
Yeah,
that's
it really is.
Yeah.
You do a great job. I saw you at Kirby's, and you had some guys from St. Louis or Springfield?
Where were they from? Fayetteville. Fayetteville, that's it.
Fayetteville,
Arkansas, yeah.
So you had like 5 minutes in the front, and then you introduced them, and then they came up, and there was a guy who was young, and you could tell he was scared in it, and he just kind of... Comedy is so weird to me, because if you're not getting it, if you're not reading the crowd, or they're not getting you... It is so awkward.
Oh, man. People don't talk. They always talk about, like, comedy and how amazing it is to make people laugh. But, like, you've now seen it, and it's raw. Kirby's is a great place to go if you want to see raw comedy.
It is really, like...
people starting out. People learning.
And others in the audience participation part of that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of... And if you're in a small place like Kirby's, and it's not known for comedy, it's known for, like, hard punk music.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, who's there is kind of like, wow, what is going on here? And it was just great. But your set was just, to me, I was in tears.
Oh,
like,
thanks.
Several times. I was laughing so hard because it's very, I think the most funny things are things when you're talking about yourself and your life and you're relating it to you.
Yeah.
And making fun of some quirk of yourself.
Yeah.
And it just... Other people relate to that, and then they laugh, and it's beautiful, you know? Better than making fun of other people.
Other people. That's, that's, you know, there's so much about ourselves we can make fun of.
Sure.
I don't have
or
time.
Our family.
You know,
too bad for our family. But, that is so cool. So, what, from theater to comedy, when did you start performing out?
Okay, so that's like, I remember being a freshman in college and seeing a thing for an open mic night And I wrote a 5-minute bit for, you know, set for it.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to go do it. And I ended up, chickening out the time thing. And it was because I was in Joplin, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was in St. Louis. And I was going to have to drive a little bit to get there. And I was like, I just ended up, you know what? No, I've got other things I'm working on. Stand-up isn't, yes, I love stand-up and I love watching it, but I'm more focused on trying to be an actor.
Okay.
So then I went away or dropped out, came home, went to Wichita State and Butler, was going back and forth there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up getting pregnant.
Okay.
So then all dreams just kind of got set aside.
You have to focus on,
being a mom. And it was like, I was a single mom, so it was like a handful. It wasn't just like, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing right now, let alone I can't just be like, well, let's try comedy.
How old was that?
I was 21, 20, 21.
Okay, so you were young,
It was, just right. I felt like I just moved back home, too.
Oh, man. And so you were like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. So I was like, I guess I'm going to be a apartment manager for the rest of my life. You know, I was like, I'm just going to find a job and be a mom. And then, like, it gets easier. You don't realize that. It's, like, so hard when you're a single mom and you have a newborn and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But then he turned 6 one day, and I was like, hey, I got the hang of this.
Yeah. And they can do things on their own, too. And, like, take actual direction.
Yeah. So I remember being like, what did you, like, I was single. I had nothing. I'd just, like, kind of broken up with somebody, and I'd gotten out of this relationship where I was like, man, I'm, like, almost 30, and I haven't focused on anything I actually want to do in my life.
Right.
Some of it for the right reasons, like my son.
Right.
That's the right thing to focus on him.
Sure.
But then others was like being in relationships and just like whatever that person was into was
just
like
kind of adopting that.
Yeah. And I was like, who are you? What do you want to do? And then
I don't even like you anymore.
Yeah.
So
all the relationships I was in, I was just like worked 9 to 5 and mm-hmm. we would go out to eat or go to a movie. It was very
mundane-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, man, you're about to turn 30 and you don't know who you are anymore. And, what do you want to do? And acting is one of those things that's kind of I was like, well, I could do that. But then I saw this thing for an open mic night at the Loony Bin in town.
Yeah.
And I remembered wanting to do that in college. And I was like, you know what? That is so much easier than trying to go out and audition again. I can just write a set and go try it.
You think it's easier, but it doesn't seem easier. You know, it's all you on that.
Yeah. Which is funny when you say, like, yeah, you do write about yourself, which makes it harder when someone doesn't laugh because it's almost like a rejection.
Yeah, kind of personal. Yeah. Personal rejection.
I told you something about me and you go, no. Move on.
Like, awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did it and I fell in love with it. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
So
you're so good at it. So when you're sitting there, do you still write everything out? And then what do you do? Look at yourself in the mirror and do it? Or do you go to a party and say a few of those things and see if anyone laughs? Or
you know what? People accuse me of doing that now that they know I do comedy. I never just be funny at a party. They'll be like, oh, you're bidding us right now. You're trying to joke. And I'm like, no.
I'm just me.
Trying to make it laugh. But no, I'll write it out.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if I keep this on me, I have a notebook on me, and if I think of something funny, I'll jot it down, and then I try to write at my computer at my desk like every day.
Okay.
So if I have something I'm working on, if not, I just journal just to see if something comes out of that.
Right.
And then once I think I have a bit written, I don't know how other people do it, I go to my garage and I walk in circles.
Really?
I just pace and talk to myself.
Kind of work it out.
Yeah.
And then write it down again.
And if I get something that I said out loud that I like, I'll write it down again.
Oh, okay. So you're riffing.
Yes,
you're,
with myself.
Yeah.
Some of the best lines I've written were me nervous before show out back smoking.
Okay.
And I was like just running through the set trying to get ready for the show.
Getting it in your mind.
And then I accidentally say something that I wouldn't, and I was like, ooh, I like that. I'm going to try that tonight. And then it gets stuck in the set. Now I don't smoke. I quit smoking this year.
Oh, good for you.
Thanks. So the writing part's been a lot harder.
Yeah.
So I'm in my garage.
Not smoking.
And I bought like one of those CBD vapes, so I'm just doing that right now.
Yeah. Okay. Those smell good. They do. I always like when people are vaping and it's like a butternut or something.
Coffee, toffee. Yeah. You're
like, ooh, what's that? Can I have some?
Yeah.
They usually oblige, you know?
Yeah. People are pretty cool about sharing that stuff.
So it's just kind of like your habit to work it out is to go out there and vape or smoke or whatever.
Yeah, so I used to be a chain smoker. Now, I'm trying to get out of that. So it's been like since January that my writing process is still pretty much the same.
Uh-huh. But you're trying to figure out a new way.
I'm trying to figure out a new way because that was the hardest thing in January. Was like I had trouble sitting down and writing because it made me want a cigarette.
Habitual. Yeah. I smoked for a long time. I know the feeling. I still, once in a while, if I'm around the right people at the right time, I want a cigarette.
Yeah. The conversation's right, and we're outside on a patio. Sometimes I'm like, this is going to make me really
and
drive
then I need
this
to get
point on.
Totally high.
Yeah.
One cigarette. I feel like I need to lay down for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what kind of stuff are you working on right now?
So I have like some projects here in town that I'm working on, like show-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I used to run a bunch of crappy shows everywhere in town, like any bar that would let us in, and I didn't know what I was doing. And now I've got it narrowed down. I have a show at the Shamrock that's on Sundays now.
Okay.
And it's periodic.
Like regularly? Or?
It's not regular yet. Uh-huh. We're still trying to... I like to book it when I get a good touring headliner.
Okay.
So
when someone's passing through and you know... Mm-hmm. And how do you connect with all the comedians? Or do they have like a comedian network kind of thing?
Well, you know, that's like been a process. I do comedy festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was just in Altercation Festival in Austin.
Cool.
And there's it's like comedy camp, right?
Right.
You're there for this week long of shows and you're working with people that are famous and people that are not famous.
Uh-huh.
And you're meeting each other and exchanging information.
Okay.
And so I've been booking a lot of people that I met from that because that was just in September. And then I travel and do shows. And then like when comics come here, you know, there's a bunch of us opening up for them.
Right.
But that's how, when I go to do a show and let's say
backwards.
I'm in Denver. Yeah. Then it's a bunch of comics there with me that I'm meeting.
Sure.
So yeah, then.
Okay.
And then you meet people and it kind of grows. And then over time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they know you and where you're at and they'll say, hey, we're coming through there.
We're coming. And this is a great place to live as far as we're.
Coming through there.
We're the coming through spot. Nobody's coming, but they're coming through.
They're not coming to stay, but they're coming through.
And then you get a lot of good acts that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. My husband and I were able to get like the Wilders, which is like a bluegrass band.
Yeah.
We got them to play our wedding because they were playing another show later.
See, that's a thing I love about Wichita. And I'll check people like on these shows that I'm running where I want like a big headliner. I'll look at who's on tour right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, oh, you're going to be in Austin? And then you're going
to
be in Kansas City?
Hey.
You know what's on the
you
way.
Want a place to
stay? You could do a show at the Shamrock Lounge in Wichita and you should come on through. And I just booked Mark Norman's in April 29th, and that's exactly how I saw on his calendar.
Oh, really?
He had a Wednesday open between dates that were on the other side of Wichita.
Cool.
And a lot of times, you can get him to be like, all right, I'll.
And where's he going to play at?
Barleycorns.
He's going to do Barleycorns.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that. I don't like it for the band sound because they try. I mean, it's all dampered and it's the best it can be, but it still doesn't.
Is that just shotgun bars or is that?
Yeah, shotgun bars in general.
I just wondered how those are for sound. I don't know a lot about music. But
I think in music, it's like the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But for just talking and stuff, it's pretty good. It doesn't, like, you can understand what people are saying.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're like really singing heavy metal, you don't really need to understand it anyways.
I haven't been to one show where I've always wondered that. And like the heavy metal thing is like, you can't hear what they're saying.
Right.
At all.
So what are they saying?
What are they saying?
They could say anything.
They could be saying crazy stuff to us.
Or they could be saying like My Little Ponies and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably not know it.
You would have no idea. And I'm always like, why even have vocals if no one's going to hear them? I can't even hear the sounds you're making half the time.
Yeah, because the band drowned them out even.
And then I'll talk to like my musician friends. I'm like, that's how we like it. I'm like, all right.
Go for it, man.
Yeah.
So, okay. I kind of skipped over and we went to what you're doing now. But when you were acting and getting into comedy in Wichita and you were just starting out, what was the like pivotal moment where you said, I can really do this, you know?
Cause yeah.
You're going to be like questioning yourself for a while, probably. Like even with me,
yeah,
I question whether I should do this. And then something gives me a little light and I go for it, you know?
You know, honestly, I don't remember if it was one big moment or if it was just a bunch of little ones. Like things just started. The first set I did went really well. Cool. And I remember, and it was, there's a video of it somewhere on YouTube. I need to get them and remove it because here I am 4 years later. Like, that's terrible.
Right. But it's hard to hear you.
So yeah. Well, and it's like, I was so manic at the time. I'd just gone through this breakup and I was sad. And I was like, it's nothing like it's not even the same style that I would do now.
Right.
But I was getting the laughs. I had callbacks written into it. I felt like a pro. The second set I did, I bombed. So hard.
Right.
And that just took all the way. Because at first I was like, look at me. I was born to do this. And then I did it again. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And then I think each set was getting better. Like, I still bomb now. I can't wait till I'm like at a point where I feel confident enough that a bomb isn't on me. It's on the crowd.
Yeah, like
you now a bomb is on me. It's like, well, you did that wrong.
But it could just be the crowd. And I mean, you could just go in with one thing going on in your mind and everyone else just
heard
like a sad song or something. But right before you came on, you know,
Could be anything. It could just be, there's a lot of things that go into like that crowd working. When it works well, it works. I think the first time I went and traveled and did it and went on the road somewhere and did it for strangers, not in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first time I was like, I can do this. Right. You know,
you had a relationship with the crowd that you realized that you had some control. Yeah.
I felt that's a good way to put it. Honestly, is that when you feel in control up there, it's because I've seen comics do well and they wouldn't be able to tell you why. They just that night the jokes hit and maybe tomorrow they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The first night that you get out of there and you can take dips and you can
and get back up.
Get back in.
And realize what they're liking and kind of go that way because you have enough material maybe to go that way. Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing to me. it really is. And I think about when you get a heckler.
Oh, yeah.
And you work around to the point where they're...
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Either bring
it is,
them
funny,
in and make it funny, or you make them feel silly and stop talking, depending on how bad of a heckler it is.
Yeah.
That's the control thing, though. When I first started, mm-hmm. I would get hecklers, or like, back when I first started, Barleycorn's now is a comedy open mic, but they didn't used to have, their only comedy open mic in town was at the Loony Bin.
The Loony Bin.
And then we would crash music open mics in town, which is terrible. I still do it now. If you're just like, I need somebody to just be mean to me for a little. And they're not mean. I love the scene here. They're not mean like that. It's just you at a bar when music's playing, you can talk and laugh and you don't even have to listen, especially at an open mic.
Right.
When it's a comedy open mic, you're like, hey guys, listen to what I'm saying. Quiet down. Everybody. Right. Focus on me.
I know musicians that do that too.
Yeah.
Like when they're playing and everybody's talking too loud, they're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And that's like, we go to these music open mics and it's loud in there, and then we'd get on to do comedy and no one would quiet down and they would just be yelling and talking over us or drunk and yelling at us because they would get mad that we would interrupt the music to do show. And we were new. So the jokes were terrible, you know?
Sure.
And I remember being up there and this guy, I had paper. That's how new I was. I had paper and I'm reading it and this guy's heckling me. And he's like right by the stage, right up front. And he keeps yelling at me. And I'm so new, I'm not good enough to even address this.
Oh, wow.
And everybody's watching him yell at me. So I'm just trying to talk over him and he's interrupting me. And it's just like trying to tune him out. And you can't do that. Right. It was like, it just derailed. And I did that for a long time. That's how I would handle hecklers. I would ignore them and let them derail me.
But now.
Yeah, no, now I'm.
But now I dare you.
Yeah.
No, I saw when you guys were at Kirby's. I haven't seen you guys anywhere else. You were going to go play Boomerang after that, though.
Yeah, I have a comedy and drag awesome, show, yeah.
But I'm an early bird. Like, yeah, no, I get it. Up early, 5:30 early.
Yeah.
So about 10:30, I start fading. And unless, you know.
Oh, it wouldn't even have started at 10:30, right. I think. Yeah, I went on stage at 1:30 at Boomerang, so yeah.
No way. I'd have been laying on the couch over there by the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably that's a fun place, though. I do like it. So do you have a story of inspiration that you'd like to share?
Oh, man. How I started is a good inspirational story. Because that is, I feel like it was like sometimes you think you have like a certain life. Like mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be a single mom.
Right.
Managing apartment complexes and working at Mr. Goodson's on the weekend, you know? And then I feel like sometimes you go through something very terrible. Like if you'd asked me when I was going through the breakup that led me to do comedy,
mm-hmm.
how I felt, I would have probably felt like my life was over.
Sure.
And that everything I would have started over from there would have just been being a single mom again.
Right.
And starting back over. And now I'm in a very healthy relationship and I do comedy. And if you'd asked me 5 years ago if I thought I would be doing what I'm doing now.
Right.
And I'd have been like, no. What? Like traveling and doing comedy or running comedy shows in town.
And you're truly happy doing those things.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I love it. And I feel like I'm a better mom now because I'm a happy mom.
Sure.
And,
yeah. I agree with that.
And I feel like, And it's funny because the guy that dumped me, I remember telling him because I was starting to feel like I wanted to do comedy again at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I would do this. I would get sad. I don't know if you ever do it. And you Google your name to see if somebody
posted something famous. Bad about you,
no, just to see if there's like another like somebody that has your name that made more out of it.
Oh. I have Googled my name before. I'll tell you that.
I did one day and there was another Megan Welch doing stand-up comedy in Boston.
Really?
She was blonde-haired. And I watched her stand up and I was like, and I remember I was sitting there and the guy I was dating at the time, I was like, just very upset. And he was mm-hmm. like, why is this making you upset? I'm like, because I didn't do anything. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a stand up comic at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done nothing. At the time, I think it was driving school buses, which is a very good thing. But for me, it wasn't making me happy.
It's admirable.
It's admirable. It really is.
It really is.
It's And then he was like, well, you're not funny. You couldn't be a stand-up comic. And it hurt my, and it made me so mad. I was like, you don't think I'm funny at all?
That's
like,
not
I thought that was like most of why you were attracted to me. Like, I've been riding on, and as flattered as I should feel, that's not. But, I remember being upset.
Yeah.
So that was like when we broke up, that was one of the reasons I was like, you know what? I got a point to prove. And that only lasts so long. I will tell you that proving to people that you can do something.
Sure.
When you start doing it because it's what you like, I at this point, I don't even.
It's like your breath and your water and stuff.
It is. Yeah. And I've had sets where I drive home crying.
Really?
Just in tears, just wondering, like in long drives where you, like driving home from Nashville to here and it's on a bad set.
Oh.
And it's 10, 11 hours to think about what you're doing with your life. It's too many hours to be thinking about what you're doing with your life.
Shit. You better have some good records.
You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh my God. And you're on a road. It's very scary. You're like, I could drive this car off a bridge if I don't change the station. You know, this is too much time in my own head.
Yeah.
So, and then you get home and like, this is the first time that I feel like, I played sports in college,
mm-hmm.
and there's always that, like, you fall down, you get back up. But this, I think comedy is the first thing that's ever taught me how to do that gracefully.
Yeah.
You cry in your car, no one knows except the people listen to this. So then you go back down, you try to make people laugh. People don't realize I hold a lot of my all my validation is held sometimes in strangers' hands.
Oh.
And it's a crappy thing, but
I think that's
doesn't
for
hurt.
Everyone,
yeah.
though. It's
yeah.
just different, you know, but you're putting it all out there, so hurrah for you.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you should pat yourself on the back because it's hard. It's not like everyone can just go, here I am, guys, with warts and all.
Yeah.
And either love me or leave me or whatever it is, you know. And then, that didn't work out. And you do have that time to think, what could have gone right? What could have gone wrong?
Yeah.
And I should have changed this.
I should have done that. Or, yeah, I missed up there. But that's the thing I will say is that, like, the thing that I think is maybe if anybody out there is listening to this and there's things they wanted to do in life and they're 30-plus years old or younger or whatever, wherever you're at.
Right.
It's not too late.
It's not.
And you can do it. And you just, if it's something you love, you just dive into it. What's that old saying? Like, you find what you love and let it kill you. It's just, yeah, comedy is a good example of doing that. But yeah, it doesn't have to be comedy. Even if it's like, my mom went back to school as a teacher. She was a chemist my whole life and decided she wanted to teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
And went back to school when I was 19.
Okay.
And now teaches middle school.
That's awesome.
So I'm just saying, whatever you want, it's never too late.
Right.
To start over and do something new.
And as long as you are giving it your all, then you know you've done everything you can.
Yeah.
Work out or not, you know.
Yeah.
So, and if you figured out, you know, you suck at it or something, then you know at least you tried.
Yeah.
And you don't have that question in the back of your mind, I should have done it all this time. That's awesome. So, okay, so right here, Megan and I talked about upcoming shows that she had going at the time, and this was taped before COVID-19 pandemic, so she had lots of shows lined up in April and late March and May, and she talked about those things, and they were really exciting, but since they didn't happen and were canceled, I didn't play them right here, so be sure to check Megan's Facebook page out and the Wichita comedy scene out, and just try to be supportive if you can. If there's something going on, make us laugh. They make us laugh, people. Back to the show. Do you have a goal? What's your all-time, if something magical, lightning struck today, dream?
My dream is the day that maybe I quit my day job.
Yeah, and get to just do comedy. That's cool.
That's all my ultimate dream, because I know comics that do it, and you should see how much they love life.
It's cool. Well, I hope that for you, too.
Thank you.
Hope to see you down the road. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for catching a pocket with me today.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely. Cool.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening to the Catch a Pocket podcast. I'm Lori Burris, and that was Megan Welch. Megan has some sites like Twitter and Facebook and this kind of thing, and I will post it on the notes to this podcast. And also, I'd just like to have you guys like us and share us on Facebook, Twitter, or what have ya. Once we can get together and be together in a distant way again, safely, I hope that we can start having comedy shows like Dave Chappelle did, 8 minutes 46 seconds. That was pretty deep, so I understand why it needed to be deep. It did need to be deep, and it was awesome, so for a good reason. But in such heavy times that we're in now, it'd be nice, and I know I could use a good laugh. And Megan is just a great comedian. You should check her out whenever the time comes. Thanks, and I hope you guys catch a pocket you can be proud of.